Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, Father, please bless all the ears to hear today, Lord, some good words, good instructions about winning the race, Lord. Thank you so much, Father, for what you're doing for us, working all things together for our good. We praise you, Lord, for your grace in our lives to draw us unto you and to continue to cause us to run after Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about the crucified life brings purity, number 4. And this first article is about overcoming to be in the bride. And it's by me. 1 Corinthians 9 and 24 says, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" And the one here is those who abide in the one, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Jesus will finish the race, and all in him will finish the race too. The prizes are many. Eternal life, most of all, most importantly. A work or ministry fruit. Many other things. And also the high calling of the man-child or the bride, etc. Even so, run, the scripture says here, that you may attain. Run that you may attain. Verse 25, "And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things." And, of course, the running is denying self and taking up our cross to follow Jesus' steps. Now, they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Amen. We desire after the incorruptible crown, not the things of the world, okay? We patiently endure the crown of thorns to receive the incorruptible crown of life. Righteousness, glory, etc., all these things. In verse 26, "I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage." Yes, we must keep the old flesh down. If it gets used to winning, it will win. And it's got to get used to dying. The race is to bring the flesh under servitude to the spirit. And it goes on to say, "Lest any means after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Yes, the Greek word is adokimos, meaning reprobate, rejected by God, right? So even if the Apostle Paul could be what he's done and still lose the race and still be rejected by God, he's saying it's a possibility. If it's a possibility for him, it's a possibility for us. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, "Therefore let us also, seeing that we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Run with patience. You know, don't give in to the things that are not patient. The Lord knows what he's doing. We should start out with that kind of thinking. And the race must be to run with patience with ourselves and for the promises to manifest. Amen. James 1 and 4 says, "And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, lacking in nothing." So being patient in our faith brings perfection in everything. We must believe that we have received all that Jesus did. And that's the gospel. The race has nothing to do with being swift or beating others to a finish line. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So the race is against the clock, or the time that we have to receive the prize. The race is to lose self and gain Christ, and his fruit before our time runs out in various ways, through God's limited grace, for each goal, like the bride, or our death, or being alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, etc. The race is not optional, because Jesus said we have to lose our life to gain our life. So if you're going to be a Christian and you thought you could just rest on a pew until the rapture comes, think again. There is a race for each and every position in the kingdom. And this is a revelation given to Debbie Horton, and we called it First Fruits Overcomers Discover the Heavenly Way. Amen. And she got this on 3/3/21. I dreamed I was part of a group of people in a college class, but we were not together in a classroom. We were meeting over the internet, kind of like we are, huh? And had been doing so for this entire course. And she said, this represents UBM studies and teachings over the internet, UBM participants worldwide, and higher learning by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's supposed to be a college course, right? The professor was checking back with us upon the completion of our research assignment. And although most of the time we had been working without any physical input from him, which is so, except through the teachings, an interesting term, she says, normally the professor represents nominal fake Christians who are professors of faith but not actually having any. Ah, good point. Yeah, my point is professors generally want you to give the answer that they have learned in school, like religious leaders. And those at UBM have outgrown the religious institutions and gone on to a higher learning and independent study of the Word to come into more and more maturity in Christ. We're not, even though it's an independent study on our part, we're not being independent from the original professors who wrote the scriptures, right? And they always spoke the truth. So we have to remember that men are likely to go astray one way or another, but the original guys spoke the truth. 2 Timothy 3, 2-7 says, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. So, remember that. They love to deny the power thereof. It says, then on it goes, from these also turn away. You are commanded to turn away from the powerless professors of Christianity who do not live Christianity. And by that I say, they don't walk in the power of Jesus. Right? For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth hasn't changed from the beginning. We're warned at the end of the book, don't add to or take away from the words of the book. Amen. She says, a worldly professor was most puzzled. That's a worldly professor. It seems that somehow in doing our assignment, we as a group had discovered a new shade of the color blue. She has a new shade of blue represents a new revelation or outpouring of grace and righteousness from God. It may be a new revelation to these worldly professors, but it's not a new revelation. It's been there all the time. And heavenly has many shades of blue, she says. That's true. A new one could represent a heavenly revelation that the professors of Christianity haven't learned or discovered yet. Amen. I agree. There's a lot of that out there. Overwhelming majority, as a matter of fact. If you escape all of those traps of religion, you can go on with God. An overcomer must discover the heavenly walk through the washing of the water with the Word, which is our higher learning that requires independent study of God's Word. Yes, we don't trust in men. We study it for ourselves, seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. This is the way of the kingdom. She said, blue is a very special color in the field of color development, paint, crayon, dyes, etc., because no new shades have been discovered for decades, with only one exception within the past 10 years or so, she says. Wow. Okay. Well, this text came to me concerning the new shade of blue, Matthew 4:16-17. As I was reading this revelation from her, this is what popped into my mind. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. From that time began Jesus to preach and to say, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And of course, Jesus went to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and he's telling them to repent. And I say today to God's people, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your mind. Change it to what God says. She said there is actually a color called heavenly blue that George Washington Carver developed from the iron oxide in Georgia clay. And, of course, we are the clay. And George Washington was the president of a new country. The meaning of Carver is an occupation name for a plowman. Of course, that's our job too. That's what repentance is. Break up your fallow ground, right? It can also be a carver of wood or a sculptor of stone. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9 came to me here. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen. This is the most important thing. Some people think the only thing important is the planting and the watering. But no, God's got to give the increase. For that reason, we pray as ministers of God in many forms and ways. We pray. We pray for the people we minister to. We pray because if God doesn't give the increase, how many of you know? Your words just go out like a bunch of hot air, right? So, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's husbandry, which means tilled land, that word for husbandry, right? We're God's tilled land. We've repented, broken up our fallow ground, easy to receive the seed, right? And then he repeats another parable that fits here, God's building. You're God's husbandry, but you're God's building. God is building a building. He's using the stones of the righteous people of God. Then she says, in the dream, I briefly saw a small patch of the color as the worldly professor was wondering out loud about how it was even possible for this to have occurred because it had no obvious relation or link to the assignment that we had been given. Yep, they can't understand it. Well, you know what? It's not usually the professors that come to the understanding. It's the pupils. Because when they start looking for themselves, suddenly they get explosions of knowledge. If they trust in the professor, they're going to end up looking just like him. So, she says, the worldly professors like you to stick to the script and give the answers that they have learned, but you never grow until you look elsewhere. Amen. This is true. The religious system will stunt people spiritually and distract them or keep them from studying the Word for themselves to discover all that God has for us in the kingdom and in our spiritual lives, right? Well, then she woke up, okay? She said, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream and received by random, computer, Proverbs 11 and 4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. Yes, the prosperity preachers want Christians to think that getting wealth and prosperity is our assignment from God for our time here on earth. But many are spiritually dying from their greed because righteousness and sanctification aren't as important in these churches. This is true. I've seen demon-possessed prosperity preachers. I'm telling you, you can see it in their eyes that they have been led astray. Okay, this next revelation, still following down a similar path. The bride wins the race and receives the grand prize. And this was given to Eve Brast. March the 4th, 2021. She said, I dreamed that, first I'm going to identify Eve here. Eve was the bride of the first Adam and a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus. So, I dreamed that I, Eve, was in an indoor children's facility that had a large carpeted maze where many races were conducted. This is where we're at. We're all running a race. We're not all called to be the exact same thing, but we're all running a race. And the race is against time, and the race is against the flesh. The winners all received high quality and coveted prizes for winning their races. And there was one grand prize for the fastest, most efficient runner out of all the races who completed the course. Yes, it reminds us of 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that you may attain. In other words, don't waste your time in all the goofy things that the devil throws to stumble you up. You're running a race. You are in a trial. It is a test. Remember that, and you will fight the devil. Get caught up in all the devil's distractions and you will lose. So run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things. Self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, as not uncertainly, so fight I, as not beating the air. I buffet my body, and I bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected. So, sacrificing fleshly desires is an integral part of the race. For the old man cannot win the race, or the new man loses. You understand? If you feed the old man, he will whoop the new man. And if you feed the new man, he will whip the old man. If you're losing, it's because you're feeding the wrong man. Starve him out. As Jesus taught, we must lose our carnal life in order to gain our spiritual heavenly life. Amen? She went on to say, the maze had many dead ends that we had to recognize and obstacles that we had to negotiate, which were there to slow down and impede our progress in finishing the race. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore let us also, seeing that we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, they're watching us. They're watching us. They want us to win. They're cheering us on. They're praying for us. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. These things hold us back. Make sure if you want to win the race, you get rid of the sin now. Okay? And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, do you have joy set before you? All these wonderful prizes, you know? For the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, he won the race. He won it for all of us, right? And Eve, the bride, said, I was in a race with other children whom I recognized in the dream as also being a part of UBM Ministries. As I was running this race, I was very good at quickly determining if a pathway was a dead end or not. And I would almost immediately turn around after entering the dead end and find the right way to go. Yes, you should be able to recognize the path. Jesus laid down the path before us very clearly. It is always a denying of self, and it is always a finding the will of God. And if we try to bend or tweak the will of God to our selfish desires, we will be in a dead end. It was like I had a supernatural sense of direction. That comes from the scriptures. Get familiar with the scriptures, you'll be familiar with the one who wrote them. And then you'll know what the direction is. Romans 8:12-17 says, so then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now you can have religion and be following the rules, but that's not following the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wrote the rules, but it's the Spirit that you're following, right? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, who is in agreement with the Word of God, these are the sons of God. And all children need to end up at sonship. Amen? and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Notice the condition. We will suffer him with him to win this race. We're joint heirs with Christ if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 says, For as much then as Christ suffered in the flesh, arm ye yourselves also with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Notice, if you're suffering in the flesh, it's because you're not doing what the flesh wants. So you're ceasing from sin. And he goes on to say that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Notice, the rest of your time, you're not supposed to be serving sin. The rest of your time, you're supposed to be serving God. We're here to serve God. How can you serve God if you're wrestling with sin all of your life? Okay? Some of the obstacles were physically difficult to overcome, but it seemed I would always get a second wind, an extra strength to make it past them. Amen. His power is made perfect in our weakness, right? As I was running this race, I lost track of the others in the race fairly early on and never know if it was ahead of others or if I was ahead of others or in the last place, because I never saw any of the other children after the start of the race. So I kept wondering if I was even doing good in the race because I couldn't see anyone else in order to gauge my own progress, because the walls of the maze and the obstacles were too high to see past. Well, we don't have to compare ourselves with others, right? Yeah, this is not a helpful way. She went on to say, sometimes in the race of life, we are tempted to want to look at the progress of others, either in judgment or to compare ourselves with them. This is true. You know, and 2 Corinthians 10 and 12 tells us, for we are not bold to number or compare ourselves with certain of them that commend themselves. But they themselves, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves with themselves, are without understanding. Yes, if you want to look around you in your church and you're comparing yourself with people who in many cases are not going on with the Lord. And if you're one of those dead religions, guess what? You're comparing yourselves with them, so you're really not putting a very high hurdle in front of you, are you? You're not expecting much, okay? So you're running this race alone, okay? We all hope that we're being judged and graded on a curve. But even if we are, Jesus would be the top of the curve. So why compare ourselves to others, right? This is true. This is a distraction. This is a distraction of the enemy to try to discourage us or to get us off the narrow path of working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. It's important that we focus on ourselves and being led by the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the fruit of Christ in our own race to win the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12 through 16 says this, Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. You know, he laid hold on us to win this race and to receive the prize. And he provided everything that this would happen. But we don't always take the time to pay attention and to run the race as though it is a race. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. Well, things. This is not in the Greek here, and it could be people behind, forgetting those which are behind, and stretching forward to the things which are before, or things again is not belonging in there. I press on towards the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, we got the prize. We got blinders on. You know, we're not looking to either side. We're just looking at the prize. We got our eyes on the goal of Christlikeness and not on others. So let us therefore, as many as are perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you're otherwise minded, this also shall God reveal unto you. Only whereunto you have attained by that same rule, let us also walk. Sometimes comparing ourselves with people who are more spiritual can bring depression. So you don't want to do that. You know, you are in the race. You're in the place that you are. You have to attain to the goal. You do not need to be distracted. So keeping our eyes on the goal will give us the goal, and we will win the race. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Here's the top of the curve, right? But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. There you have it. Your eyes are on the goal. Your eyes are on the top of the curve, which you're going to be graded against 30, 60, and 100 fold. Amen. By the grace of God. When I finally made it to the finish line, the employees of the facility were all cheering and very excited and impressed with my performance in the race. They were congratulating me, patting me on the back, and said that they couldn't believe the time that I had made, and that they had never seen anyone complete that course so quickly and efficiently. Well, you can imagine that that's what the bride is going to do. The one that he chose to be the most beautiful to him, right? You can imagine that that's exactly what they would do. Now, and she goes on to say that the employees may represent the angels and those that have gone before us, that great cloud of witnesses mentioned in Hebrews 12:1. Yes, indeed, that's exactly right. They told me that I was the grand prize winner, and they presented me with a solid baby blue, there's that blue, miniature speedboat that only seated one person. It was about the size of a Polaris wave runner. This heavenly boat represents overcoming the curses of this world and of sin and of death. And I might add, going through the water swiftly. You know, the water of the Word, we should be able to travel through it swiftly. You know, I'm not talking about reading it fast or anything like that. I'm talking about accomplishing it, right? So the heavenly boat represents overcoming the curses of this world and of the sin of sin and death, right? Revelation 2:26-28. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, there you go, to him will I give authority over the nations. Keepeth my works unto the end. Amen. Don't get distracted along the way. You can't win a race if you get distracted or go down blind alleys or get distracted with the world. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron as the vessels of a potter are broken to shivers. Okay. He that overcometh, he's talking about, shall do this. Right? As I also received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. Oh, glory be to God. I was so surprised that I was so far ahead of the other participants in the race, and I wondered how that had even happened. Then the others started slowly coming in to the finish line. They were all tired and out of breath. But when they saw that I had won, they were happy for me and congratulated me for winning the grand prize. Amen. Remind you of Song 6 and 9. It says, "My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bear her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her." Yes. And Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It is by grace. Always count on God's grace. Always believe for his promises, and you will have God's grace. Amen. Then I had an open vision of the dream of myself in this blue boat speeding all over the world across the waters with great ease and very quickly to go and minister to the needs of people all over the world. Yes, and this is going to happen. And it's going to be very supernatural. The first fruits, man, child, and bride, corporate bodies will receive a great anointing to minister to the people of God in the end times, and in the wilderness, and in all across the world. And then I woke up. I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on Isaiah 33:19, 15-22 in context. "Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings?" Well, for that reason, many people depart from under the word because they don't want the word burning up their flesh, right? This is talking about the burning up of the flesh in the self-sacrificing life of submitting to God's word, being obedient to his word. 15, "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from taking a bribe." Many people are bribed away from walking the path of Jesus's path, right? "That stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that shutteth his eyes from looking upon evil." Amen. "He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. His bread shall be given him. His water shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold a land that reacheth afar." Amen. Promises to those that are overcomers, running the race, overcoming the old flesh. And verse 19, "Thou shalt not see the fierce people, a people of deep speech that thou canst not comprehend, of a strange tongue that thou canst not understand." In other words, they won't see the beast coming to bring them into bondage. These people come as a beast kingdom to chasten. Verse 20, "Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem," which is the bride, of course, "a quiet habitation, a tent that shall not be removed. The stakes whereof shall never be plucked up, neither shall any of the cords thereof be broken. But there the Lord will be with us in majesty, a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall no galley with oars, neither shall any gallant ship pass thereby." Of course, this is a galley with oars. This is a man-motivated, man-powered religious system, you know, that we must overcome. "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." Amen. Do you believe it? Amen. "Hold fast the confession of your hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised." Amen. Okay, here's another revelation. And we called it Man, Child, and Bride Overcome the Obstacles to Win the Race. Yep, down the same vein. And this was given to Claire Pinar, 11:22-20. And this is a portion of one of Claire's dreams that fits well with the previous revelation that Eve had. I dreamed that Rion and I, representing the corporate bodies of the man, child, and bride, and our children, representing their fruit of Christ, were in a huge, larger-than-life obstacle course, trying our best to get out of the city. And, of course, this is the city representing Babylon of this world, right? Revelation 18:2-4. And he cried with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and has become the habitation of demons, and a hold of every unclean spirit, and a hold of every unclean and hateful bird. A hold here means a prison, right? And verse 4, Come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So this race is a race to get out of Babylon. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't worry about being different from the world. Yes, they will persecute you, but you need to be different because God's people are from a different kingdom. We're born from above and not from beneath, right? There were throngs of people on either side of these various obstacles. At first, I thought we were in a line of people who were all going through these obstacles. But by the time I got to the end, I realized that many were just standing by, watching us. Yes, sad to say, that's true. Many are just watching others run the race. They don't have any idea there is a race or that they're supposed to be in it. Oh, Lord. Some were cheering us on, and others were too gripped by fear to do anything. I only saw Rion and I completing this grueling task. The first fruits will go to their cross first and be spiritually matured in order to help bring in the rest of God's end-time harvest during the 7 years of the tribulation. So God's bringing a people to maturity, to walk with Jesus, to bring in the rest of the church. We had to go up and over, shimmying through here, ducking under there, climbing over here. The last obstacle was climbing onto a moving blue steel stairway. There's that blue again, heavenly, right? And going across the monkey bars. We then had to scale another steep incline while avoiding a landslide to the left before going on to the top of the mountain. It was here where there was a wooden sign pointing upward that said Pioneers in white paint. Pioneers go upwards, right? Well, here's the color blue again, representing overcoming the world and flesh to be in heavenly places in Christ. Pioneers are those who go there first, right? Some want no resistance from the flesh-pleasing life, but still want the prize. And as they say in building muscles, no pain and no gain. So a landslide, of course, is a falling away. You have to avoid the landslide. It is a falling away of dirt, which is your flesh, right? Avoid the falling away. Okay. As we started on the blue stairs, I watched Rion do it first, and I admired his strong muscles and good attitude. However, I lacked belief in my own ability. I even said, I'm so tired. I don't think I can go on. My arms are too weak. Well, she says the blue stairs mean growing in spiritual maturity. The white writing on the wooden sign represents sanctification through suffering, continuing on the faith, in the faith, is the sign of Christ, right? So, again, we have to confess that we have the strength of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can't say, I can't go on. We can go on, and so on. Or we can't say that we are weak because we are strong in Him. Amen? Amen? John 15, 18 through 20 says, if the world hateth you, you know that it hath hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. So don't get discouraged when the world hates you. And even the worldly Christian, don't get discouraged. This is a sign, a good sign, right? But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember how many religious people hated Jesus and all of the prophets. My goodness, you know, should we escape this? No, it's part of it. It's part of the race, okay? So remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Yeah. So, just then I saw these people who were standing on the sidelines pass my children along to each other over all these obstacles. That's interesting. My children were passed like footballs under people's arms without their feet ever touching the ground. Well, I think the children of the bride represent their fruit of Christ in them. The people on the sidelines are now passing on the fruit. People see you. They learn from your lessons. They learn from your testimony. They learn from what they see in you, right? So they're passing on the fruit. Many need a demonstration on how it's done, and they will follow in the steps of the bride. Jesus was totally dependent on what he saw his Father doing, and he only did his Father's works. John 5 and 19, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father doing. For whatsoever things he doeth, these the Son doeth in like manner. Amen. He is our proof, right? He is our leader. We keep our eyes on him. Praise be to God. The children did not climb or exert themselves, but had to be obedient and trust these folks because they were helping us keep our children safe. And they had to be brave. And when I saw them, I was spurred on to complete this very rigorous course. Amen. So the fruit of Christ in us is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. And Christ in us is always in a state of continual Sabbath rest, ceasing from our own works to do these works. See, Galatians 5, 16 through 25 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Just remember, your flesh is not on your side. It's a weight. It's a weight to try to hold you back, right? The flesh does not want to go. It's kicking and screaming and clawing the ground every time you take a step in the direction of Jesus, right? So expect that and take authority over it. For these are contrary the one to the other, the spirit and the flesh, that you may not do the things that you would. You may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And these are the opposite of the gifts and grace of the Spirit that I just mentioned. Fornication, You'll never win a race with these. You will never win a race to whatever position you're attaining to with these. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Repent now so you can run the race. If you're doing these, you're not in the race. The race is to get rid of all this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. And they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. If we live by the Spirit let us also walk. Amen. As we climbed over the last hurdle before ascending Pioneer Hill, we were overcome with joy. Well, Pioneer Hill represents Mount Zion, which belongs to the overcomers and is also the bride, right? And also pioneers settle wilderness lands. We're sojourners and strangers in a foreign land, and we must climb Mount Zion to be in the bride. Don't get your eyes on the world. You'll turn into a pillar of salt. Obadiah 1:17-21. But in Mount Zion there shall be those that escape. Escape the beast. Escape the flesh, right? The beast is there to crucify the flesh, right? Escape them both. That it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And verse 21, and saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Amen. Yes, God will use the bride to judge the Edomites, those who are factious and hateful and critical and full of sin and lust and so on. Yes, they will fall by the wayside. She said, I think it was Denny and Debbie Finsky who were smiling at us and helping our children down onto the ground. Amen. They have been always helpful. Amen. Rion was making jokes and laughing, and I was making jokes too. One thing I remember him saying is, now it's time to travel straight north. And when I say north, I mean northwest, because you have to lean a little to the right to get there. And everyone erupted in laughter. Yeah, and that's probably because left-leaners will not find their way. Absolutely. In my dream, it was hilarious, and everyone thought so. Yeah. John 16:22 says, and you therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. Yes, it's fun to follow Jesus. That last hill was a serious uphill. I felt my calves stretch as we walked. I felt my thighs tighten. I was sweating. I was thirsty. I was hot. But I held on to my children and agreed when Rion said, we can do it. We have to do it. There's no other way. It is true. There is no other way. Now, many people want to give you the leisurely, fleshly life is okay, it's prosperity, it's so on and so forth. Nope, there's no other way. You have to lose your life to gain your life. And the Lord Jesus went before us and he did it for us. He made reconciliation too, which exchanges his life for our life. So we now have the ability to do it. The only way to hold on to our fruit, like she was doing, is to persevere and agree with our husband Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, right? We climbed and climbed. We passed the marker for a landslide on the left side. Well, the fleshly on the left will fall away. That's what a landslide is, right? They didn't stay on the mountain. They slid away. I looked over at it and realized it was on my right. But here is the interesting thing. It started out on the right and it ended on the left side of the city, right where the tanning bed center was. So that's why it was called the left landslide. So there's a great falling away of people, surely. And they're sliding from right to left, right? All the people that are on the left can't find the way, as we've just saw. So for those who fall from their righteousness because they do not want to the real sun to burn their flesh, like the Shulamite bride or the perfected one in a Song of Solomon 1:4-6, where the bride said, "Draw me and we will run after thee." So it's an individual parable, but these are corporate body of people. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will make mention of thy love more than of wine. Rightly do they love thee. I am black, but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am swarthy, because the sun hath scorched me. See, we got to be scorched. Let the sun burn up the wood, hay, and the stubble, the old flesh, right? My mother's sons were incensed against me. Yes, of course, our mother, the church, they are angry with us because we go on. We want to be like Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you're going to be persecuted by Christians who are not Christians. They made me keeper of the vineyards. Oh, yes, they want to keep you at work, building their kingdom. They made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. That's the thing. This is the important thing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Lord says. Get the board out of your eye so you can see clear to get the mote out of your brother's eye, Jesus said. See, first you got to be something in order to be able to give something. So, we continued to walk up to Pioneer Hill. A cool, crisp wind, I believe representing being led by the Holy Spirit, cooled us down and we were peaceful. And we can always have peace when we are led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Other people might not have peace when we're led by the Spirit, but we should be, right? Yeah, because other people are not going to agree with the direction. And even people who call themselves Christians are not going to agree with your direction. Then I woke up with three verses in my head, so I looked them up in the Bible, but could only remember the first two. Jeremiah 18:3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was making a work on the wheels. Oh. So you remember what happened there, right? Yeah. So when we've wrecked our lives, the Lord can fix it, right? Verse 4 says, and when the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Amen. So God can fix us, or he can make us another vessel. It's not even unto honor. That's the terrible part. Isaiah 24:2 is one of the verses that you got in context 2-6. Isaiah 24:2-6, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, and as with the servant, so with his master, and as with the maid, so with her mistress, and as with the buyer, so with the seller, and as with the creditor, so with the debtor, and as with the taker of interest, so with the giver of interest to him. The earth shall be utterly emptied and utterly laid waste. So the Lord's not a respecter of persons. All of these people are coming into a great tribulation. Utterly emptied and utterly laid waste, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The lofty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is polluted unto the inhabitants thereof. Oh boy, is it ever. Because they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Can you imagine, folks, they've poisoned all the water in America with the garbage that the deep state has thrown out there in order to depopulate. All the water, even the water from under the ground, is infected with all of their witchcraft. Amen. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So, in our trials, watching the judgment of the wicked around us will keep us in the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom. You know, Psalm 91 and verse 8 says, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. It's useful to pay attention to what happens to people who fall astray. Then the Lord reminded me of the third verse that he had given. Hosea 6:1, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. Just remember, the Lord tears, and he smites. He's not against you. He's against your flesh. But he will bind us up. He will restore. Then in my usual morning time with the Lord, I received the following by faith at random. My finger was on, went on a journey. Went on our journey and brought us, from Acts 21:5. And when it came to pass that we had accomplished the days, we departed and went on our journey. And they all, with wives and children, brought us on our way until we were out of the city. And kneeling down on the beach, we prayed and bade each other farewell. Reminds you of passing on the children, right? Amen. Pretty cool. Okay. Here's something also very cool. I think it is so awesome. Running the race with patience. This was given to Linda Smith back on 7/25/2012. Yeah, 2012. And Linda said, I had a dream where I was in a race that started on a ridge top. The path or course was in a large rectangular circle. Most of the people there were from 30 years old up to 60 years old, and no one knew the other runners. Could this mean that this race speaks of those who range from 30-fold fruit to 60-fold fruit, but running towards 100-fold fruit? Could be. We did not all start together, but each one of us left about 5 minutes apart from one another, and I was the last person to run. Some have been running this race longer than others, but it doesn't matter. The race is against the flesh with the time that we have, right? We're not racing against each other. We're racing against the clock in order to bear the fruit before our time is up. And that can be up in so many ways. You can be up because you fall away, or it can be up because you die, or it can be up because you've attained to the prize, or whatever, you know. Your time is up. There were two very tall men there, dressed in white. I thought they were two angels because they were about 12 to 14 feet tall. That's a good identification. One man, or angel, was timekeeper for each person running the race. He always had a solemn, stern look about him during the whole race. And I guess that's because he represents an enforcer of the time laid down by God, right? The other man, or angel, was nice and had a beautiful smile and would give good advice or counsel. Amen. Well, that could be because he represents grace and mercy in counsel. We must run with God's guidance by word or spirit, or it will all be in vain. Galatians 2:2 says, I went up by revelation, and I laid before them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately before them who were of repute, lest by any means I should be running or had run in vain. And 5:7 says, you were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth? And of course, he's talking about people that got trapped in justification by works and legalism and going back under the Old Testament, you know, etc., etc. Philippians 2:16, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Amen. My turn to run finally came around as I walked up to the starting line. The timekeeper raised his hand and said, go. I started running down the hill. Well, I believe the beginning of the race is easy, downhill. As I got to, and it's true, everybody recognizes that. They were so full of life when this new life came into them, you know, and they, you know, go on, so on. As I got to the bottom and on the straight path, I tried to pace myself, running fast, but trying to save some energy to run up the high, steeper slope back to the finish line. Okay. The steeper slope uphill represents that God is asking more as we receive more grace through faith in the promises. When I got there and started up, the ground was loose, so I would slide back down. So I went up on all fours, hands and feet. So are our works representing our hands, and our walk representing our feet, being in Christ, will cause us to overcome. As I got up the steep part, it leveled off, and I ran to the finish line. The timekeeper shook his head and said, nope, you took too much time. You'll have to do it again after you rest a bit. Okay, so you know what? You overcome a trial, or it's put back in front of you. You understand? You can keep trying to overcome the same trial, but you have to overcome it to go on to the next stage, you see? So you can't win a race like that. This is a motivation to get it right the first time, or we will do it over. Now, if you keep on in your thought life that this is a race and I do have to overcome this so I don't have to go around the same mountain again, you can keep yourself motivated, right? So we have to get it right. That's where the fruit is. And then we can go on to the next trial. We don't want one step forward and two steps back, or we won't finish. Everybody will beat us, right? I was very tired and sat down to rest, and the other man or angel walked over to me and smiled, saying, "This time, run with patience." I thought, run with patience? I ran as hard and as fast as I could, and I didn't make it. What does he mean, running with patience? Well, patiently enduring because of our faith in the promises of God's good news that all is accomplished by Jesus, right? James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations," that's many temptations coming for the same reason, right? "Knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing." Nothing. Oh my goodness. Patience is important. Don't have hissy fits. Don't, spend a lot of time in condemnation and, you know, all these things that just keep you from running the race. You know, you can be lacking in nothing if you're patient in the race, determined in the race. Remember, it's the kingdom that you're reaching for, right? Hebrews 12 and 1, "Therefore let us also, seeing that we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight." Amen. "And the sin which doth so easily beset us." So notice, it can be a weight, and it's not necessarily in itself a sin. But it's a waste of time. Yeah. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us." There it is. 2 Corinthians 6 and 4. "But in everything, commending ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions." Wow. "In necessities and in distresses." Be patient in all these things. They're all part of the course, right? Be patient. Patiently enduring because you have the eye on the prize and you believe you have received, right? You're entering into the rest, right? Revelation 3 and 10. "Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Well, you know, Moses went with the Israelites into the wilderness to go to the mountain of God, but he'd already been on that course. It wasn't a big thing for him. It was a big thing for them, you know, and he was trying to encourage them. So he, even though he was in that wilderness, he wasn't being tested. He'd already been tested. Revelation 14 and 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints, they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." There you go. Patience in what? Keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. There you go. "By the time the thought was ended, the other angel called me to the starting line. He raised his hand again and said, 'Go.' So I was off again, running. But I kept hearing those words, 'Run with patience,' over and over. So I slowed down and ran slower. It didn't seem to me that I had made a better time. But now I was finally back at the steep part again, using all fours. I got up there a lot easier and ran across the finish line again. And the angel again shook his head, saying, 'No, you have to run again.' So I sat down again. Nope, you have to run. Something wasn't right. The friendly angel came over and asked me, saying, "Hey, did you see all the beautiful flowers and the big lake that's down there? Or did you hear all the birds singing in the trees?" Well, what's he getting at here? I think running in the rest through faith is pleasurable. It's restful. It's no competition, right? She said, "No, sir. I didn't see or hear anything like that, sir." Well, he said, "This time, run with patience, and you will see and hear all the beautiful things around you. Try and keep that in your mind this time." And I said, "Yes, sir, I'll try." In other words, keep your mind on the good and the beautiful things, not on the grueling trial. And God will be with you in peace. Like Philippians 4 and 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things," all the good things, right? "The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. It makes the trip a lot better. Get your eyes off the grueling race and on to the things of God, all the promises and all the good things, right? "Once more I was called to the starting line, and the timekeeper angel raised his hand again and said, 'Go!' So I was off a third time. I quickly ran down the gentle slope to the running path. This time I was listening and looking for birds singing, the flowers, that great big lake the angel told me about. I first came upon the flowers. They were all kinds of colors. Then the big trees with the birds singing. And on around was a big lake with crystal clear water, shimmering with a soft glimmering of sunlight." So pay attention to the big lake, which is the Word of God, the sun, S-O-N, the light, right? Pay attention to these things and all the good things that God has done for you and provided for you, right? "I thought, how did I not see all this before? It's beautiful down here. Looking ahead at the path, I was at the steep slope, so I went up on all fours again and ran across the finish line. The timekeeper angel said to me, 'Turn around and come back to the starting line, and then run straight towards that solid rock face there.'" So obviously she had accomplished the first task, and now he was putting another task before her. "Turn around, come back to the starting line, and then run straight towards that solid rock face there, and don't stop running." Oh my goodness, you're going to run right into a rock, right? Well, we run with the solid rock face in view, which is Jesus in the solid rock. And his face is what we see in the mirror by faith to make bearing his fruit possible. We run into him, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 again. "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord," he is the rock, right? "are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." And the other angel said, "Run with patience." "Yes," I said, "and thank you so much." The timekeeper said, "Go." And I started running straight towards that solid rock face. I closed my eyes. So in other words, not running by sight, but by faith, right? And then opened them to see the rock's part. and I ran right through the narrow opening. In other words, through the door, Jesus, and on the narrow road, right? To the other side. And I kept on running. The path would curve to the left and then straight and then curve to the right many times for about a mile, going up in grade all of the time. Well, this uphill run is now made easy through the faith with patience, right? Amen. The path was about 2 feet wide, and on each side it was 3 feet wide. The narrow path is what she's talking about, and it's to be conformed to the limitations of God's Word. You know, staying on the narrow path, you're being conformed by the Word of God. You're staying within the bounds of the Word. I could look down on either side and see for miles because I was so high. So running up the mountain called Zion, right, which we've read before. Then I came around a right curve, and suddenly there was no more path. I found myself falling, and looking down, I saw a huge body of water. So finally we come to the baptism unto death to self, right? Fear came over me because I can't swim, but I was thinking, I have to try to take a deep breath just as I start to enter the water. So my focus was only on the water. Well, our focus must be only on the Word and His promises, right? I took a deep breath and hit the water feet first, going down close to the bottom. I started pushing my arm down, trying to get up to the top with no success. In other words, we really don't have any power for resurrection life. She's been baptized unto death, but we got no power to conform to the resurrection life. That power comes from God. I had let out the air that I had, and I was needing to breathe. Then I heard a voice telling me, breathe, you can breathe underwater. In other words, you'll be alive while you are dying the death of self, right? There is life in death. The Word only puts to death the old man. The new man has life, right? So I took a big breath of air and thought, I can breathe underwater. Then I noticed I was moving through the water as if I was being pulled. Now, there's God's power, right? So I just relaxed and was enjoying the ride for a while. Well, there is joy in the new life, which is indestructible. And by the way, the new life is that life that Christ gave to us at the cross. And our running is against the flesh in order to obtain a death to self and life in Christ. Then I began to hit the sand and rock, so I stood up and walked to the land where I saw the two angels standing waiting for me. And as I left the water, my hair, clothes, shoes were dry. The angels took me to another starting line and said, go, run. See, just when you think it's all over, I've arrived, you know. No, no, no. Go, run, I said. And I said, with patience? And they both said, yes. And I was off again. So this time you can run without as much weight of self because that's been put to death in the water, right? This path was also like the last one, narrow and slowly going upward. In other words, heavenly, right? I was running and looking at all the sensational views. The higher I went, the more views I could see in every direction. More discernment, more wisdom, and more joy, I believe is what's being spoken about here. And I was enjoying running with patience. When I ran out of any path again, I wasn't falling. I was flying. So she didn't fall this time. She was flying. So I put my arms out and was soaring like the eagles. Well, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I flew across the United States. I saw mountains, rivers, grasslands, farmlands, and then I woke up. Wasn't that awesome? I got this feeling that no matter what I have to go through, two angels will be there also, because in Psalm 91, 10 and 11, we're told, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he," that is God, "will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Amen. Now, after Linda shared this dream with the local UBM, she had an update dream. And here it is, "Running Some More," we called it. Linda Smith, 5:4-14. "I woke up early this morning and I turned over and laid there for a few seconds and went back to sleep and had this dream. I was standing in a very large green grassy field. I began to run across this field and there seemed to be no end. Jesus said, 'The field is the world.'" Yeah. "As far as the eye could see in all directions was this green field, and it was beautiful and peaceful here. There was nothing but blue sky above and the beautiful green field in front of me. I just kept running, as if I were being drawn to something that was still further away. So I kept running with a great awareness of something great that was up ahead. Amen. For the joy that is set before him, he ran with patience the race," right? "I ran and ran, and each step was effortless on my part. When my feet landed on the ground, I stopped and found that in front of me was a huge waterfall." She had been led to the source, the rivers of the water of life, right? "It was so high I could not see the top of the waterfall. There was a mist of water up high, falling down on me. The water looked so pure that it was clear as crystal, and I could see through the water and see big boulders and rocks that the water was falling or cascading over. The mist that was falling on me was refreshing, and I cupped my hands together and started drinking the water. I was at peace and in total rest. I felt complete and whole, totally satisfied." So this rest of faith in the promises brings death to self and the completeness of the new life in Christ. "That's the only way I have to explain it. It is something you would never want to depart from. I had a thought. It was like Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Then suddenly I was being pulled back to the place where the dream started." So she went back to the beginning to observe where many lose their way and not finish the race. "I found myself back, only this time there was a humongous tree there, and I was being drawn feet first into this tree. Well, the walk at the beginning is plagued with failure until faith comes." Yeah. "My left foot was inside the tree and I was trying to keep the rest of me from being pulled in. I cried out, "Lord, help me. I don't want this. I resist this in your name, Jesus," and it stopped. Perhaps the tree represents the tree in Daniel, the tree of Babylon, right? This, we do not want to get caught with our left foot, you know, trapped by this tree. A simple prayer of faith brought relief and deliverance. I laid there on the ground with my left foot still caught in the tree. Well, the left foot speaks of a walk of self-will and rebellion through bondage to the law, which brings condemnation and the destruction of our faith. My thought was everyone had been caught in this tree. It's very interesting. Yes, everybody has been caught in that tree before. It's to teach us a lesson. Everyone passes through this trial that we might know that the power is not of ourselves. It's a gift through grace by faith alone and can't be accomplished by the law or rules or regulations. Okay. I said, "Lord, is this the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Well, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil only brought the knowledge of sin. But like the law, it had no power against sin, which left man torn between good, which is the right, and evil, which is the left, with no rest. Only by grace, through faith, do we overcome the power of sin. It has to be by grace. It cannot be by man's works. It cannot be by the law. My foot was released from the tree, and I woke up and praised the Lord. Amen. That's why a lot of people don't finish the race. Okay, another one here. We call this facing fiery trials without losing faith wins the race. This was given to Claire Pinar. 3:26-21. I dreamed we were at a huge water park. As our children were in a swim meet or swimming race, we were so confident that they were going to win. It wasn't an arrogant, fleshly confidence, but we were certain about their competencies. We are competent in Christ, right? We have faith in that. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his house, whose house are we if we hold fast our boldness or confidence and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. We know that in Christ we can do anything. We were taken to a group share room where we could stay, and we got our kids fitted out in their swim gear. We realized that Daniel had left his swimming trunks behind, but he was able to swim in a Speedo, so that was okay. Daniel here probably represents the man-child, like he does in the book of Daniel. First fruits of Christ in us. He has left his trunks or fleshly baggage behind him and is properly equipped to win the swimming race in his Speedo. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. So he wasn't in full of pride that he had arrived like a lot of religious people. He was running the race. He wanted to obtain what Jesus paid for at the cross. And we're running the race in order to do that. and it can be 30, 60, or 100-fold. Brethren, I could not myself yet to have, I count not myself to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind. You have to do that because the devil always kind of points you back in the direction of all of your failures and so on and so forth to make you lose faith so you can't run the race, right? Forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And as we were waiting for the races, we let our children get wet in the play area, and that's when we noticed our daughter Tabitha's sunburn. She was pink and swollen, and she said that she could not swallow properly. Well, we bear fruit as we wash our minds with the water of the Word, but at the same time, it burns up our flesh. And that's hard for our flesh, man, or nature to swallow, so to speak. Rion and I looked at each other, and I said, but I put sun, or S-O-N, cream on her. And Rion said, yes, I also put sun cream on her. I said, I don't know why this happened. She's got the same covering as the others. She's definitely covered. Well, all of God's elect have the same covering, which is the blood of Christ, the Son. But we don't all go through the same trials at the same times. The Lord knows what each of us needs to bring us to maturity for the job that the Lord has called us to do. And it's not all the same job, is it? We know. So He's preparing us for a certain job. I was crying because I could not understand why she was suffering if I'd done all the right things. And Rion said, she'll still be swimming in the races. She'll be fine. I was so heart sore as I felt I had failed her. Well, we don't always understand God's ways, and we begin to question if He really loves us and if we can really trust Him and all these things, you know. Many times the trials He brings us into tempt us to receive thoughts from the enemy of condemnation or other things. But we must cast down all the lies and the fiery darts from the enemy and all the vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. God's not a man that He should lie, and we can believe His promise to us in His Word that He really does work all things for our good and after the counsel of His own will. Amen. So, we have to keep our mind in Christ. Cast down all vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. She had big red blisters on her back, and I pressed them with my cold hands gently to give her relief. She whimpered, but remained committed to swim the race. We never even considered that she could not partake in the race. Yes, it doesn't matter. There's nothing, all of it's a part of the race. All of it has to be included in the race. You know, and actually the race is against the flesh, and the burning up of the flesh is against the flesh, so it's one and the same. You have to continue to do the race. Don't let anything stop you from running the race, in other words. And Tabitha means gazelle in Hebrew. Habakkuk 3 and 19 says, the Lord is my strength, and He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and will make me to walk upon my high places. Amen. Finishing the race on Mount Zion. What an awesome thing that the Lord has given us to do. What an awesome tool to know your way in this race and to know that you don't stop running this race. You don't get distracted. Be careful of all the distractions in the world. They're there to tempt your flesh, to get caught up in worldly things, things that don't have an eternal value to you or the people that you one day will minister to. Be careful. Watch out. Remember that the devil, that first of all, the Lord was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And what did the devil tempt Jesus with? The world. He offered him the world. But he would have to bow down to the devil to do that, and we do too. He tempts us with the world, the worldly things. So, running the race is against the things that the flesh desires, right? You know, we should be practical in our Christian life. Practical in that everything that we do serves this purpose. We don't take a rest from running the race. I remember a dream that my wife had about this woman who was running the race with her, and she wanted to go rest under the shade tree. And my wife told her, "You can't rest. This is not a you'll be distracted from winning the race. You have to keep on running." You know, and this is true. You know, people think, "Well, I've done a lot, and now I deserve a rest." You are in the race. It doesn't matter if you think you're going to stop and rest or not. The race goes on. The time being the goal that we have to come into the image of Christ, it continues. So, you know, whatever you do, you should be practical about it and continue running the race. Continue believing the Lord because he's already accomplished this feat for you. He's already won the race. He's already gone through death, burial, and resurrection, and we get baptized in the water of life because it's obedience to the word that puts to death our old man, right? And so we got to realize that we can't give in to our flesh and that we need to continue to run the race. So the distractions out there, they'll be there. The devil was trying to distract Jesus, and Jesus slapped him with the word, right? Every time he slapped him with the word till he decided he better go somewhere else and try to look for a better season, right? But he overcame, and of course, the anointing of God then carried him on to his powerful, very powerful ministry. But he had to go through those 40 days of wilderness trial and testing, you know, and so on. And 40 is the number of tribulation. For us, it may not be 40 days. It may be, physically speaking, a lot more days than that. We might go through lots of trials to bring us to the place that we need to be. And God will work peaceable fruit in us. He will get us ready for a ministry that will reach other people, that we can be a part of, and that we have our gifts to share. We've gone through our own race to be able to do and use the gift that God has given us for others. The bride was obviously created in the scriptures to reach out to many people. John the Baptist said of Jesus and those first fruit disciples that he picked, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom," and they They studied the Master and walked in his steps and received his anointing and went forth to raise up the fivefold ministry in the apostate church of that time, which was the Jews, right? So they went forth to do that and then went on to the Gentiles too and carrying the good news and so on and so forth. So we see that the bride was created for a work. It is not prosperity preaching that you can just rest in the shade, right? No, you're not going to get anywhere unless you are overcoming sin day by day in this race to the finish line, this race of death to self to the finish line. You're not going to be accomplishing anything, nor are you going to be ready to minister to anybody else. Amen. So, Father, we just ask in the name of Jesus that you would empower us to get in this race. And you're able to accomplish this with speed, even, because the race is not natural speed. It's a spiritual speed, and you're able to accomplish it very quickly in us. The 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of Christ, who is the word sown in the heart of the person running this race. Father, we ask that you empower everybody with the motivating words that we've just gone through here to see that we're here to do a job and we're getting prepared to do that job. And we're here to serve him, not ourselves. It's not to sit on our pew and be evangelized the rest of our life. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose, of course, is to be taught by the Word of God. Most of it will be taught to us on our own, seeking the Lord, seeking the Word ourselves, seeking out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Of course, God has teachers that will help us to stay on track, help us to recognize this course that we're in. But Father, we ask you to help us to stay on track on the narrow road through the door, who is Christ, et cetera, et cetera. We want to be overcomers, Father. We pray and we ask you to complete the good work you started in us. And Father, we see the end from the beginning. This is how you taught us that faith works, that we see Jesus. Our goal is Jesus. Our goal is Christ-likeness. Our goal is for him to be free to move through us because we are in total cooperation with his Spirit. And therefore, we can hear his voice and we can follow him. So, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you will work this grace and this will in all of the brethren who are listening out there, that you will pour forth of your Spirit. Strengthen them by your Spirit in the inner man so that Christ may dwell in their heart through faith, to the end that they be rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend with all of the saints what is the length and breadth and the height and depth of Jesus. And of course, thank you, Father, for doing that. We want to obtain all that Jesus has given unto us, and he gave his all for us. And now we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, as the apostle said. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. We don't get distracted by failures, because we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. And we're not moved by what we see. We're not moved by what we see in the natural mirror, because we're looking in the mirror of imagination and we're seeing with a renewed imagination that we are in the image of Christ. That's what was accomplished and that's our gift from God. He has given it and he's not taking it back. We can give it up, but he won't take it back. It's there for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, pray, Lord, that your people won't give it up. They won't get discouraged. along the road of this race. They won't be discouraged by the fact that now they've accomplished this great race and now they're back in line again to run another race. Well, Lord, that's the way it is. You know what perfection is, and you know it's Christ in us, and we're not saying that we have attained naturally to perfection, but we press on to the goal. And we thank you, Father, Lord, that you are going to get us there. You are our Savior, our Deliverer, our Healer, etc. You are all things to us, Lord, and we want to be in obedience to your word. We want to submit to you and let the waters of your word put to death the old man, baptize him unto death, so that we don't have to put up with that garbage anymore. We can continue on in submission to you, and we're not in servitude to the old man, the flesh life, the world, the deception of preachers, etc., etc. We're not susceptible to these things, Lord. Through your word, you make us immune to the world and its curse, the religious traps along the way, all these things. You make us, Lord, immune. Lord, help us to put in the renewed mind of Christ until it overcomes the mind of the flesh, the old man. Thank you, Father, for keeping us in the race and not taking vacations from the race. We thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much, saints, for joining us today. God be with you and bless you mightily. And stay in the race. Keep on running. Get in the Word. Ask God for everything that you need. Everything. Say, Lord, I want a desire in my heart to read your word and to meditate on it and to love it and to live by it and to eat it so that we become assimilated as part of the word made flesh, the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Thank you. We praise you and we thank you. Amen. All right, saints. God bless you. I've enjoyed it. Keep us in your prayers. The devil does not like what we do, and his people don't like what we do, and they are resisting in many ways, but it doesn't matter. We are going to continue to run the race. All right. God bless you and keep you. Bye-bye.